Man, God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me, not to the Gospel of Mark, but actually to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And for our reading this afternoon, we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Now, this morning during our Spanish service, I had the opportunity to minister the word, and I actually ministered from here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the Lord placed it in my heart to share and to minister the message with you guys that I ministered early. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 1. We'll begin in verse 4, fam, and we'll read all the way down to verse 9. And when you have it, you can let me know by saying amen, and we'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. Amen. Let's read it together. And this is what the Word of God declares. Paul says this: I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and in agreement, all of God's people declares amen. And by saying amen, you agree with me that what we just read indeed is the word of God. This afternoon, fam, I have titled my message, I Love the Church. I Love the Church. Before I get started, let me ask this question. How many of you love the church? Well, if you do, you're going to love this message. Amen. I love the church. Recently, I was reading an article in a journal concerning the condition of religion in America today. And especially the condition of Christianity in America today. And as I expected, the article stated that today in this country, more people identify with religion and more people identify with Christianity than ever before. But the same article stated that at the same time, less people in this country today identify with the church. In other words, more people confess to be Christians today than ever before in this country, but at the same time, less people go to church. Interest for religion and interest for spiritual things and interest for Christianity is growing, is increasing in this country. But at the same time, interest for the church is decreasing and dropping. And to be honest, it is dying. For many, going to church no longer is important. For many, church is no longer a priority. For many Christians, it is possible to love Christ without loving his church. And many Christians, sadly, have lost their love and their compassion and their commitment to the church. Sadly, when it comes to church and when it comes to the services of the church, many are cold. Many Christians are cold. However, as we study the Bible and as we study the New Testament, we see that all those who love Jesus are going to love what Jesus is, what Jesus loves. And without a doubt, Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves the church. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Jesus loves the church so much that Jesus came into this world and Jesus offered himself for the church. That Jesus literally bought the church with his blood. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the head of the church. And Jesus is Lord over the church. And that the church is his bride. And he is our heavenly husband. And the Bible teaches us that all those who love Jesus are going to love what Jesus loves. And according to the Bible, Jesus loves the church. And if we love Jesus, we are going to love the church. John would even tell us in his first epistle, there in 1 John, that if we say we love God and don't love the brothers, if we don't love the church, literally John says that we're liars, that we're lying. Because he says that it's impossible to love God who is invisible and to hate the brothers that we see visibly. And John says that if you don't love the church, if you don't love the people of God, then you don't love God. He literally uses those strong words in his first epistle because all those who love Jesus naturally are going to love his church. And so this afternoon, I want to talk about the church. And really what I want to do, fam, is I want to share with you why we need to love the church as believers and why we need to be committed to this church. Why I love the church. And even more than that, why I love this church and why I am committed to the brothers and sisters of this church. Many are committed to the fellowship, but sadly, many are not committed. Many are a little wishy-washy when it comes to church. Or at times we see that some are only committed to church when they have to serve, when they have to do something at church, but every other service, it's like we don't see them. And so there's a concern there. There's a concern in my heart. And so this afternoon, the Lord has put it in my heart to talk about the church and why we need to be committed to church, why we need to come to services, why we need to be committed to the brothers and sisters of the fellowship. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. And to do it, we're going to use this text here in 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to share with you a few reasons that we see here why we should love the church. As I'm sure many of you know, if you're somewhat familiar with the book of Corinthians, the church in Corinth really was the worst church in the New Testament. We would say this was a crazy church, a carnal church, a sinful church, the most difficult church in the New Testament. If you would take the time, or if you've ever taken the time to read 1 Corinthians, you will learn immediately that there was division in this church. There was sin in this church. There was problems, and there was arguments, and there was struggles and battles. This church had it all. And it would have been easy for the Apostle Paul to abandon this church, to leave this church, as many people do when things are not going their way in the church. They just leave. They just kind of church hop and go to the next church. It would have been easy for Paul to do that, to remove himself and to distance himself from this church. But what we find in the epistle is in spite of all their problems and in spite of all their struggles and in spite of all their errors and mistakes, this church was still the church of Jesus Christ. And Paul loved this church. And Paul thanked God for this church. And Paul was committed to this group of believers. And here in our text in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9, Paul begins the epistle really opening up his heart, and he shares with us some of the reasons why he loved this church. And those are the same reasons why I love this church. And so what I want to do is I want to share them with you this afternoon. I got five things that I want to share with you. And so let's begin, fam, and may the Lord bless his word this afternoon. Let's begin in verse 4 again, there in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. And the first thing I want you to notice in the text is the grace of God. That's our first point, the grace of God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1, 4 again, fam. Paul begins with these words, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." And let's pause right there. The first thing we see and learn, fam, here, and the first reason why we should love the church is the grace of God. And this is the idea, fam. The church is the place where God has poured out his grace. Here in verse 4, Paul begins by telling us that he always gave thanks to God for the church in Corinth. Literally, the idea there is in a continuous, ongoing way, Paul was always thanking God for the group of these believers in Corinth. And in verse 4, Paul begins to tell us why. He begins to tell us why he loved this church so much and why he was so thankful for this church. And what I want you to notice is that the reason was not the building of the church, or it was not the painting of the church, or it wasn't the music of the church, or the children's ministries in the church, or it wasn't even the pastor of the church. Praise God for the pastor, amen. But it wasn't even the pastor. But notice the first thing Paul tells us is that he thanks God for this church. He loves this church because of the grace of God. The grace of God. Paul loves this church. Paul is thankful for this church because they have been given God's grace in Christ Jesus. He loved them, and he continuously gave thanks to God for them because they were recipients of God's grace. In other words, this is the idea, very easy to understand. This group of believers, they heard the gospel. They heard the good news of what Jesus did for them through his death and through his resurrection. And after hearing and after understanding, they responded by faith. And they placed their faith and they placed their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so now in Christ, they received God's grace. A brother put it like this, commenting on this text: the grace of God found its home in these believers. And literally, they are now trophies of God's grace, testimonies of the grace of God. And Paul literally begins verse 4 telling us that he always gives thanks to God for these Christians, because the grace of God has been poured out upon their lives. They have been transformed. They have been forgiven. They have been redeemed and reconciled. They have received eternal life. And it's all been given to them by the grace of God. And Paul says, that's why I love the church. That's why I love the church of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm always giving thanks to God for the church. That's why I'm committed to the church. That's why I'm passionate for the church. Paul would even tell us, that's why I've dedicated my entire life to the church of Jesus Christ. Because in the church, I see God's grace. Because at church, God's grace is on full display. Because the church is literally the theater for God's grace. If you want to see God's grace in a visible way, you have to go to church. Because Paul says that God has poured out his grace upon the believers of the church, in the church. And that's the reason why, first, that we should love the church, the grace of God. God's grace has been poured out upon his people in the church. And let me just say this, that's why I love this church. And that's why I'm committed to this fellowship. Because at this fellowship, at this church, there are true, genuine believers in Christ who have been transformed and who have been forgiven by the grace of God. How many this afternoon have been transformed by the grace of God? How many can say this afternoon, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was this, but now by the grace of God, I am this. And that's the testimony of this fellowship. God has poured out his grace upon so many of our lives. And we've been changed. And we've been transformed by the very power of God. Listen, fam. This is not a social club. And this is not a Starbucks. You know, praise God for Starbucks, but this is not Starbucks. This place is not a theater. It's not a cinema. But this place is a place where true believers who have been changed and who have been transformed by the grace of God unite in the name of Jesus and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the church. That's the church. And at this church, God's grace is on display. God's grace is on display, starting in my life, starting with my testimony. As I stand up here, as I stand behind this pulpit, I am a testimony of God's grace. Because listen, I was dead in my sins, dead in my sins. I was lost, I was guilty, I was condemned, and I was under God's judgment. And listen to this, I was going to hell. I was, because I'm a sinner. I broke God's law, and the wages of sin is death. And that was the path that I was heading. That was me, fam. That was me, dead in my sins, condemned to an eternity, separated from God. But listen to this. This is the testimony. God had mercy upon my life. God had mercy upon my life. And with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God saved me. God literally saved me. Saved me. I was literally running a race to hell, doing my own thing, hating God, hating the things of God in my sin, and God came down and God saved me. God literally saved me. I wasn't a good person. The Bible says nobody's good. And I sometimes think, like, when people say, well, I'm a good person compared to who? I mean, to your boss, yeah, of course, who isn't? But compared to God, you're a good person compared to God? The Bible says no one's righteous, no one does good. Can you just imagine, according to God, outside of Christ, nobody does good. There's none who are righteous, and that was me. But God, in his mercy, he saved me. And the grace of God changed me. And the grace of God gave me a new heart, and a renewed mind, and a born-again spirit. And God, by his grace, completely and radically transformed my life. And this afternoon, I stand here as a trophy of God's grace. I am a testimony of the grace of God. My life is a testimony of God's grace. For not even for one second, don't you think it was me. Don't you think, but you're a good person and, you know, you love God and you grew up in a Christian home. Don't you think that? Because it was not me. There was nothing good in me. I wasn't religious. I wasn't spiritual. I wasn't seeking God. I didn't want anything to do with God. That was my heart. And God, in his pure mercy, I didn't give him any reason, but God chose, in his pure mercy and grace, to save me and to raise me up and to use me for his glory. And I'm a trophy of God's grace. And listen, this afternoon, many of us are trophies of God's grace. You know, I look around and I see trophies. I see men and women who have been changed and transformed by the grace of God. I see the grace of God in this sanctuary this afternoon. I see the grace of God. I don't see men and women who had a lot of good works and men and women who were spiritual and men and women who were religious. I see men and women who were going to hell, and by God's grace, they are now going to heaven. And that's the testimony of the church, the grace of God. And that's why I love the church. And that's why I come to church. And that's why I'm committed to church. That's why I'm a member of this fellowship. Because every time I come, I'm reminded that right now, God's not judging. Right now, God is not pouring out his wrath. Right now, God is not sending us to hell. But right now, God is pouring out his grace. And as I come to church, I'm reminded of grace. I see grace when I come to church. When I'm out in the world, I don't see grace. I'm just doing my own thing. I don't see grace. But when I come to church, I see grace. I see God's grace. You know, I look around and I think of brothers and sisters. I think, man, if God can save him, then man, God can save me. If God can save her, if God can change that life and that marriage and his life, if God can use him, man, there's hope for me. There's hope for me because I used to know Adam. I used to do drugs with Adam. I used to party with Adam. And now look at what God's grace has done. And when you come to church, you're filled with hope because you realize, man, it's time for grace. God is pouring out grace. God offers you grace right now. Grace, not judgment, not condemnation, not separation, but right now, God offers you grace. And as you come to church, you see the grace of God on full display. And that's why I love the church. Because the church reminds me that God is a gracious God, full of love, full of mercy. Man, God must be a God of grace if he saved you. Amen. He must be. It must be a God full of love and full of grace if you're here and if I'm here. How many would say amen to that? And Paul said, that's why I love the church. He says, that's why I love this church, because this church has been given the grace of God in Christ. Notice second, notice now the truth of God. The truth of God. First, the grace of God. And then notice second, the truth of God. And now let's focus on verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians verses 5 and 6. Paul continues and tells us this, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Verse 6. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. And let's pause right now, right there. The second reason why, fam, we should love the church and we should be committed to the church is the truth of God. And this is what I mean. This is where we're going. The church is the place where God's truth is proclaimed and where God's truth is confirmed. In verse 5, Paul continues to tell us why he loves the church and why he's thankful for the church. And now notice Paul tells us the reason why is because the church is the place where the truth of God is proclaimed and confirmed. Notice in verse 5 again, Paul tells the Corinthians that in everything they have been enriched by God in all speech and in all knowledge. And then notice in verse 6, he then tells them that the testimony about Christ was confirmed in them. Now what does that exactly mean? Well, very easy to understand. Really what Paul is saying is that at this church, through the preaching of God's word, through the teaching, through the preaching of God's word, these believers have been enriched and blessed and edified by God. Through his word, God has produced in these believers every spiritual blessing and every spiritual fruit. That's the idea behind them being enriched by God in all speech and all knowledge. The idea there is the word is being proclaimed, the word is being taught, and the Holy Spirit is taking that word and he is confirming it in the hearts and lives of the believers. They are proclaiming the testimony of Christ. At this church, God's word is being preached. God's word is being taught. At this church, the testimony of Christ is being proclaimed. And because of that, these believers are enriched. They're edified. They're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And Paul tells us, that's why I love the church. Because the church proclaims God's word. The church preaches the truth of God's word. And I would say this, that's why I love this church. And that's why I love this fellowship. Because here we proclaim God's word. We proclaim the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we're so serious about it that we literally do it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and even sometimes when we're feeling good, word by word. Sometimes we'll open up one verse and we'll say, we're going to look at 10 things from this one verse. And we'll be just looking at it word by word, dissecting the word of God. Why do we do that? Because we believe the only thing that's going to make a difference in our lives is the word of God. That's the only thing. Listen, I can be up here. I can tell you great stories. I know a lot of cool stories that are going to make you cry or make you laugh. I can tell you what I did during the weekend, and I can tell you these cool stories and what I went here or when I went there. But that's not what you need. You need more than that. You are tired of stories. You are tired of mumbo jumbo. And some of you are saying, what is mumbo jumbo? It is not a type of food, but really it's nonsense. You are tired of nonsense. You want substance. You want truth. Adam, feed my spirit. Feed my spirit. I want more than emotions. I want more than just a soul. Feed my spirit. And that's why we preach the word. And we preach the word. And we preach the word. Because that is our greatest need as believers. Jesus himself would say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What was Jesus saying there? Really what he was saying is your dependency as a believer must be on the word. You must get your energy. You must get your life. You must get your strength from the word. From the word. Not by man's bread, but by God's bread. The word of God. And that's why I love the fellowship. I love this church. Because here we preach the word. And listen to this. Listen to this. If you love Christ, if you genuinely love Christ, you're going to want to be where they're proclaiming Christ. If you love Jesus. Listen, if you love Jesus, you're going to want to hear about him. You're going to want to learn more about him. You are going to want to grow in your knowledge of him. And the only place that proclaims Christ is the church. I can almost guarantee you tomorrow you're not going to show up to work and your boss is not going to open up the Bible and he's not going to proclaim Christ. Now, maybe you might have that type of job. God bless you. But the chances are that's not going to happen. You're not going to hear about Christ at the store. You're not going to hear about Christ at work. You're not going to hear about Christ at school. The only place you're going to hear about Christ is the church. Only the church presents the testimony of Jesus. And listen, that's your greatest need, to hear the testimony of Jesus. And so let's put two and two together. Where should I be if that's my greatest need? If my greatest need is to hear about Jesus, where should I be at? Well, I should be where they're proclaiming Jesus. I should be where they're opening up the Gospels. And they're teaching me. And they're showing me. And they're proclaiming to me the testimony of Jesus. In other words, I need to be at church. Because if I need to hear about Jesus, and they only teach me about Jesus at church, I need to go to church. Because the church proclaims the truth of God. Now, notice third now, the gifts of God. The gifts of God. Paul is telling us why he loves the church, why he's committed to the church. And he's told us the grace of God. He's told us the truth of God. And now third, notice the gifts of God. Notice now the first part of verse 7. Paul continues in verse 7, and he says, so that you are not lacking in any gift. You are not lacking in any gift. The third reason why we should love the church is what I've titled the gifts of God. And this is what I mean by that. Very easy. The church is the only place where the gifts of God are being practiced and where the gifts of God are found. The church possesses the gifts of God, the believers within the church. Notice in verse 7, Paul continues telling us why he loves the church and why he's thankful for the church. And notice now Paul tells us that the church is the place where the gifts of God are found and where the gifts of God are practiced. He tells this church that they were not lacking in any gifts. Now that is very easy to understand. That word gifts is a reference to spiritual gifts. We would refer to them as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Later on in the book, in chapter 12, 13, and 14, Paul begins to develop the gifts, and he begins to talk more about the gifts, their purpose and their place in the church. But before he gets there, he tells the church that you guys are not lacking in any of the gifts. And really the idea there is this church had the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All the gifts were being practiced and were being exercised in this church. The Holy Spirit poured out the gifts upon this church, and this church was very active, and they were practicing and they were exercising these spiritual gifts. I like to see them as they were not on the sidelines. They were not spectators in the kingdom and in the service of Christ. They weren't passive. They weren't passive Christians, but they were what we would call active Christians. I like the expression that a pastor used to describe this church is they were on the field. They were in the game. They were in the huddle, and they were going forward. They were active. They were on the offense. That was the type of church they were. They were serving God, and they were serving one another with the gifts that God had given them. And Paul tells us, that's why I gave thanks for this church. That's why I give thanks for these believers. That's why I love this church, because this church possesses the gifts of God. And I would just say this, that's why I love this church. And that's why I love this fellowship, because here we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has deposited his gifts amongst us. And those gifts are being practiced. Every service, every time we gather, every time we have an activity, every time we have a prayer meeting and a prayer fellowship or Bible study, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being practiced. Every time we collect our tithes and we collect our offerings, the gift of giving is being practiced. The gift of exhortation is being practiced at church. The gift of helps, the gift of administration. God's gifts are present within his church. And if you love Christ, you're going to want to be where the gifts are at. As a believer, you're going to want to surround yourself with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is the idea. It's such a beautiful picture. God wants to do a work in your life, and God wants to use the church to do that work. So often, you know, there's those who say, well, God, help me. God, change me, transform me, help me to grow. And it's as if God says, how can I help you if you never go to church? Because I want to use the church to do that work. You want to grow. Man, there's brothers and sisters at church that have the gifts to help you grow. You need encouragement. There are brothers and sisters in the church that have the gifts of exhortation. That God has given that brother the gift of exhortation. And if you're feeling down, God wants you to be by that brother, by that sister. God wants to connect you with the body of Christ that they might serve you, that they might lift you up. You need direction. You need guidance. There are brothers and sisters that God has given the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of discernment, a word of knowledge for you. But if you're not going to church, you're missing it. You're missing what God wants to do. It's as if God is telling us, hey, I want to do a work in your life. And I've given all the tools and I've given all the gifts to my church. And that's where I want to do the work. I want you to be right in the middle of the church. And I'm going to surround you with brothers if you're a brother, or I'm going to surround you with sisters if you're a sister, and I'm going to use my church to work on you and to sharpen you and to mold you and to conform you into the image of my Son. That's what God's telling us. I'm going to use my church. I've given gifts to the church, to the fellowship. I want to use those gifts to get you where you need to be. Listen, on your own, you will get nowhere in the Christian walk. On your own. I know so many testimonies of people who thought, I don't need the church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need leaders. I don't need deacons. I don't need deaconesses. I don't need nothing that the Bible instructs. I can do it on my own. I just need my computer. I just need my podcast. I need my radio. That's my church. There's no accountability. There's no protection. There's no leadership. There's no direction. There's no guidance. There's no spiritual gifts being operated. But they still say, I can do it. Listen, no, you can't. No, you can't. God, when he saved you, he didn't save you to be a lone ranger. He didn't save you to be a hermit crab. But God saved you into a family. He saved us into a community. I love that about the Christian faith. It's like I'm saved into a body. I'm just a member of the body. I'm just a big toe on the body. Some of you are laughing, but you're the little pinky on the body. And we're just part of this body of believers. And God wants to use us to serve him and to serve one another. He said, I need the church. I need fellowship. I am aware of that now more than ever before, that I need fellowship. I do need fellowship. You know, this morning when we were praying, we had a time at the altar just praying for one another. You know, the Lord put it in my heart, hey, call up brothers to come up and to pray for you. Because I need also prayer just as much as you guys do. Maybe sometimes more. You know, you're up here praying and you're up here praying for the brothers and sisters. But I also need prayer. I need a brother. I need someone who would also put their arm on me and say, hey, can I pray for you, brother? Because before pastor, I'm your brother. I'm just a brother in Christ who has my struggles, who has my battles, who have my temptations, who gets attacked all the time. And I need my family. I do need my family. In the same way you need me, I need you. I need to get encouraged by you. I need to receive a text from you every once in a while saying, hey, you know what, I'm praying for, I'm thinking about you. I need that. Because there's no lone rangers in the Christian walk. There's no doing my own thing. No, we are doing this together, and Jesus is the head. And Paul says, I love the church because that's where the gifts of the Spirit are at. I love the church because, man, God is doing this work and he's put all the tools in his church. There's hammers and there's screwdrivers and there's nails and there's saws in the church, and God is building us through one another. How many would say amen to that? God wants to use the person next to you, the person in front of you, to do that work in your life. But if we never see you, we can't do that work. We can't do that work. Let's continue. I got only 10 more minutes. Notice now, fourth, the Son of God. The Son of God. Notice now verses 7 and 8. Paul continues and he says this, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now the fourth reason why we must love the church is what I've titled the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, what do I mean by that? And this is really the context of verse 7 and 8. The church is the only group in the world that is waiting for the return of Christ. Only the church. And that's what Paul tells us in verse 7. Paul tells us that he loves this church and that he's thankful for this church because they're waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Simply this: they're waiting for the return of Christ. This church, this group of believers, they're eagerly waiting for the return of Christ. They're waiting for Jesus' return to the earth. They understand that one day Jesus is coming back. They understand that one day the King is going to return and he's going to establish his kingdom upon the earth. And they understand that, but it's not just understanding it, it's impacting them. They're waiting for this day. They're getting ready for this day. They're talking about it. They're proclaiming it. They're teaching about it. They're making preparations for the return of Christ. They're eagerly waiting for the revealing of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, that's why I love the church. Because the church is the only group in this world that are waiting for Christ's return. And Paul says this: I want to be with people who are waiting for Jesus' return. I want to be with people who are talking about it. I want to be with people who tell me, hey, this world is not all there is. But there's a world to come. A kingdom's coming. The King is going to return. And brother, you need to get ready. And sister, you need to be prepared. And fam, you need to wake up. You need to get your life right with Christ. You need to get serious about the things of God because Jesus is coming back. And Paul says, that's why I love the church, because the church tells me that Jesus is coming back. Because when I'm at church, I hear the message of Jesus' return. Because when I'm at church, I hear the message that this world is not all that there is, but Jesus is coming back. And the world is passing. And the kingdom of Messiah is soon coming. And Paul says, that's why I love the church. Because the church gets me ready for the return of the King. And I would say this, that's why I love this church. Because at this church, we teach that, hey, Jesus is coming back. At this church, we proclaim, hey, the rapture is going to happen. Hey, the Lord is returning. Hey, understand, it's not going to continue like this always. But the King is coming. The King is going to return. Jesus' hand is at the door, and he's about to open it. He's coming back. And we proclaim that message and we tell the people, you need to get ready, fam. You need to take it serious. And I say that with love and with grace. I say that to myself this afternoon with the family of God. We need to get ready for Christ's return. Because the Bible teaches us that when it happens, it's going to happen like a thief in the night. And the idea there is either you're ready or you're not ready. You don't know when it's going to happen. It can happen at any moment of any day, at any time. And Jesus is going to come, and either you're ready or you're not ready. Either you will leave with regrets or you'll leave knowing by the grace of God, man, I served the Lord. I did what God had called me to do. I was not wasting time. I was not sleeping. I wasn't living for the things of this world, but by God's grace, man, I served the Lord. We come to church to get ready for that day. Who else or where else is going to tell you Jesus is coming? Who You know, I can only imagine, but you could correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think your boss is telling you that. Like, I just don't imagine you going to work and you're about to put in your time card. And then the boss says, hey, you know what? You know what? Jesus is coming back. You need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself. You need to get your life right with God because, hey, Jesus is coming back. Do you have that type of boss? I don't know. You know, I don't think so. Maybe. Praise God if you do. But the chances are you're not hearing it at work. Where are you hearing it? Where's the only place you're hearing it? At church. That's why we got to come to church. Because it's so easy to think and to forget that he's coming. So easy. Man, the world is so subtle, so dangerous. The world, it's so tricky. Satan is so tricky. And Satan is so quick to try to fool you in thinking, hey, this is all there is. Live for today. Make as much money as you can. Do as much as you can. Don't worry about anything else because this is all there is. Live your best life now. That's what Satan is putting in our head. Live your best life now. Just live for the world. Just live for yourself. Just make your money and live your comfortable life. Just pursue the things, or just pursue money. Just pursue that next job or that next raise. Just make that your focus. That's what Satan is telling us time after time after time. And if we don't come to church, the danger is you're going to start believing it. And you're just going to be working, and you're just going to be working, and you're just going to be trying to get that money and get that raise and get that promotion. And as you don't come to church, you begin to forget what it's all about. It's not about that. Now, praise God if God blesses you. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not about that because one day Jesus is coming back. And you're not going to take any of it. Nothing. Isn't that so crazy? That blows my mind. You know, me here thinking, oh, I got my degrees and I got my education, I got my house, I got my cars. And God's always reminding me, you're not taking it. It's staying. Doesn't matter if you think you're a success. Oh, you got your house and you got your cars paid off. And oh, you got your master's and your doctorate. It's not going with you. And God's always checking my heart. You're not taking it, Adam. Live for the things that you will take. Focus on what you will take. Store treasures in heaven, Adam. Because I'm coming back. And when I come back, I don't care where you live or what you drive or what master's or doctorate you have. The only thing I care about is what did you do for me? What did you do for me, Adam? What did you do for my kingdom? And that's why I love church, because the church puts me on check. And yeah, I said it. Church puts me on check. Church keeps me where I need to be. The brothers, the sisters, the word of God, it keeps me focused, because it's so easy to get unfocused. So easy. So easy to get caught up in the hype, and there you are, caught up in the hype, just having a great time, and Jesus comes back. And you're like, oh, no. Serious, fam. And Paul says, that's why I love the church. Because when I go to church, and they're talking about the return of the King, they're getting me ready by the grace of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit to one day see Jesus face to face. I got to end, fam. It is time to end. And so I'm going to end with fifth. Notice now the faithfulness of God. And we end with this, and we will just read the first three words of verse 9. Paul says in verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. And that's the last thing I want to share with you. Why we love the church. Why we need to love the church. Why we need to be committed to the people of God. Because the church is the place where we see God's faithfulness. Paul ends the text by saying, God is faithful. And it's as if Paul is trying to say, that's why I love the church. That's why I'm thankful for the church. Because in the church, I see God's faithfulness. Now the truth is, God is faithful everywhere. God is faithful everywhere. God is faithful in creation. God is faithful every day, sustaining creation, sustaining the solar systems, the planets, the laws of gravity, the other different types of laws. God is faithful in creation. Every moment, creation declares the faithfulness of God. You know, just this, think about it, okay? Just think about it. We know for a fact that tonight the sun will set and the moon will rise. You know, I'm just using expressions. The moon doesn't actually rise, okay? But I'm just describing what will happen. And then we know in the morning, sure enough, the sun will rise and the moon will disappear. Well, how do we know that's going to happen? Well, ultimately, because God is faithful. God is faithful. I know right now that I'm not just going to float into the solar system, but the law of gravity is going to keep me grounded. And praise God for the law of gravity, because I'm scared of heights, amen? But we know that because God is faithful. And so we see God's faithfulness in creation. But Paul tells us that there's one place where God's faithfulness is seen even more than in creation. And Paul says that place is the church. The church. Like no other place. Every time we come to church, we see God's faithfulness. Now, how do we see God's faithfulness? Well, we see God's faithfulness in saving sinners like you and me. We see God's faithfulness in transforming sinners like you and me. We see God's faithfulness in forgiving those who place their faith and trust in Christ. We see God's faithfulness in directing and guiding his people. We see God's faithfulness in providing for our needs as the people of God. Every time I come to church, I see God's faithfulness. And so let me give you an example. I will look out in the audience, and I see brothers and sisters, and I think to myself, man, God is so faithful. I see a brother, and he tells me, oh, man, I just found work, and we were praying, and I said, man, God is faithful. Or I see a sister who was battling health issues, and now she's recovering and doing better, and I say, man, God is so faithful. Or I see a brother, man, he was just struggling all week, but he still made it on Sunday, and I said, man, God is so faithful. Or I see a married couple that, man, they were going through major problems, but they're still going, they're still together, they're healing, they're being restored. And I see them and I say, man, God is faithful. God is so faithful. Or I see this brother who I used to know before Christ, and man, he was crazy, he was a criminal. And now I see him just serving God, and I see him, I said, man, God is faithful. Or I see young people who their parents have been praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. And now I see them here at church and they would never come to church. And I say, man, God is faithful. God is faithful. And that's church. It's a theater of God's faithful. I just look around and I say, man, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Just a look around here, and I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God. And listen, I end with this, and you can come up, brother. I need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. I need to understand every service that God is faithful, because the temptation is to think, oh, but what if God doesn't come through? No, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling making this rent. I'm struggling with my flesh. I'm struggling with my past. What if God doesn't come through this time? And every time I come to church, it's as if the Lord reminds me, I will come through because I'm faithful. It's as if the Lord reminds me, hey, look at that brother. That brother's been walking with me for 20 years. I never have left him. Hey, look at that sister. Man, that sister has been serving me for 30 years. I have been with him every moment of every day. And that's church, fam. We're reminded of God's faithfulness. You know, at times people tell me, you know what, I don't give my life to Christ. I don't accept Christ because I don't want to make a decision and then go back on it. And a lot of people say that, you know what, I'm interested and I believe, but I'm not ready for a commitment because I just know myself and I'm not going to keep it. And whenever people tell me that, I always tell them, just look at my life. Just look at me. I have been serving God now for 14 years by the grace of God, and God has kept me every moment of every day. God is faithful. God will keep you. God will help you. God will give you the grace to serve him. He's faithful. He's faithful. And if I can serve the Lord, man, you can serve the Lord. If I can be faithful, if I can be committed to God and to committed to this church, you can. Because I was the most uncommitted person in the history of the world. I was a flake. And God took this flake and God let's turn him into someone who's committed to Jesus first, to his church. And if God can do that in my life, there is no doubt in my mind that he can do it in yours. Because he's faithful. And that's why I love the church. And I love the church. I love the church because I love Jesus. And Jesus bought his church with his blood. And so the exhortation is, love the church. Be committed. Be committed to the fellowship. That's the exhort. That's the word that God placed in my heart. Tell the people to be committed. Be committed. You need the church, and the church needs you. The church needs you, fam. You're important. You play a role, you play a part in what God is doing here. And when you miss or when you're gone or when you only come once a month, you're hurting and we're hurting. We're missing you. And you're missing out on what God wants to do. And so the exhortation is, be committed. Be committed. The church is committed to you. First, make a commitment to Christ, and then make a commitment to his people. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, that in this church there are many brothers and there are many sisters who are committed to this fellowship. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless them and that you would be with them and that you would renew their commitment, Lord, that those who are feeling a little tired, those who are feeling a little weak, those who are just kind of tempted, maybe it's time for me to leave the church, maybe it's time for me to move on. I pray even now, Lord, you would restore and renew their commitment and that you would just remind them that they are in the place that you want them to be. Everything's okay. They are right where you want them to be. And all you're asking for them is to commit. There has to be a commitment. They have to plant their roots in the ground if they want to see fruit. And I just pray, Lord, that would be a work that you would do even now. And Lord, I also pray for those who are here that are visitors or who don't come too often. First, I thank you for their lives, and I thank you that they have come and we love them and you love them. But I pray, Lord, that this would not be the last time they come. I pray, Lord, that even now you would put in their hearts a commitment for you first, Lord. and also a commitment for the church, that they would understand that to love Christ is to love the church. And that being outside of fellowship and being outside of church is not God's will for their life. That is a disobedience to God's word. And I pray, Lord, that if this is not the family for them, that you would guide and direct them to a family, to a fellowship where they can be committed, Lord, because you are looking for commitment, Lord. You're committed to us, and you desire commitment from us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that even though as we hear this and even though as we contemplate all of this, at times it's overwhelming, but we know you're faithful and you are going to do that work in our hearts. And all you ask us to do is to open our hearts and to allow you to do the work. Thank you, Lord, that this afternoon, as I look around, I see grace. I see the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, that as I look around this afternoon, I see the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord, that as I look around, I see men and women that have been transformed by the power of God. Thank you, Lord, that this afternoon, as I look at the church, as I look at the fellowship, I see men and women who you're doing a work, Lord. And maybe they're not where they need to be, but Lord, thank you that they're not where they used to be. And thank you, Lord, that they're coming and that they're growing and they're learning and they're receiving and that you're using them. Thank you for the church, Lord. I love you, Jesus. And I love your church. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me, that you would give me the grace to serve more your church, that I can serve these brothers and sisters, and that, Lord, I can be there for them and I can walk alongside of them as we walk this Christian walk together. Help us, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, that when we miss church, our children miss church. Our wives miss church. Our husbands miss church. Help us to remember, Lord, that when we're away from the church, that means our children are going to be away from church. When we don't come to church, that means our children are not going to come to church. And if our children don't come to church, they're not going to hear about Jesus. Help us to remember that always, Lord, that it's more than us, Lord. There's more at stake than me, Lord. But there is a family. There are children who also are depending upon me. And I need to teach my children to love the church. I need to teach my children that, hey, you know what? Sundays are the Lord's day. Hey, you know what? Sundays, they belong to God. We can do that other stuff on Saturday. We can go out on Saturday. We can go out another day. But Sunday, son, Sunday, it belongs to God. And we need to go to church because we need to hear about Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.